Isaiah chapter number 58. We'll read two verses, but we're going to look at pretty much the entirety of the chapter. Only 14 verses, but let's drop down and look at verses 13 and 14. And we'll read those and pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. You know, it's amazing. You read verses 13 and 14, and it's almost as if God inspired the scriptures to be applicable to every generation. Isn't that funny how that works? You take a passage, I was being facetious there, and some of you are looking at me funny, but a passage that was inspired thousands of years ago is still applicable to today. And you'll notice that when we read it. Bible says in verse number 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Now, he's not telling them to turn away from the Sabbath. He's telling them to turn away their foot from what they're doing on the Sabbath, because they're not adhering to, they're not honoring the Sabbath. He said, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on, what's the word there? My holy day. Now, I know we don't celebrate the Sabbath today. We celebrate the Lord's Day. We celebrate Sunday because of what happened on Sunday. But the Israelites celebrated the Sabbath. We know that. But the Sabbath and the Lord's Day have a lot of similarities. God set it aside to be His day. The Bible says, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, My Pleasure. And by the way, the message tonight is not about a Chick-fil-A saying either. Okay, when you think about that, it's not about Chick-fil-A. It's about doing the pleasure of Almighty God. My pleasure. Father, help us tonight. Teach us. And we know Your Word will, we know Your Word can, and Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to listen and be attentive to Your Word tonight. Father, I pray that You would help our young people, our teenagers, our children, our workers, everyone that's on this property tonight. Father, we ask that You'd help in a special way, and we'll thank You and praise You for it. Lord, again, we ask that You'd teach us. Lord, just help us to fix our attention upon that which is most important over these next few moments. We're asking that You'll bless this time. These few moments that we have to just take a deep breath in the middle of the week and to allow Your Word to help us and to encourage us and to challenge us. And Father, I pray that it would do so in these next few moments. And Lord, we'll give You praise, we'll give You honor and glory for what's done in these moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. My pleasure. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy what? For Thy pleasure they are and were created. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So here's the question tonight. Why were we created? For God's pleasure. We were created for His pleasure. Second question, how do we please Him? By faith. Hebrews 11:6, we just read it. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What is faith? That's not a trick question. What is faith? Taking God at His word? Absolutely. What is faith? Faith is preeminent trust and confidence, taking God at His word, trusting and having confidence in what God has said. You see, tonight, His pleasure ought to be my pleasure. His pleasure ought to be my pleasure tonight. In Isaiah chapter number 58, and we'll read the entirety of the chapter as we go through it here in just a moment. In Isaiah 58, Israel was consumed with pleasure. But it was fleshly pleasure wrapped in a pretense of religion and righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:4 declares to us, or excuse me, 3:4, we know the verse. It declares to us that a day would come, and I submit to us tonight that it's already here, that a day would come when men would be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I believe we're there. I think we know we're there. By the way, I believe that's been true in every generation, not just in our generation, but it seems as if it's multiplied in the generation in which we live. Men are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And that is the type of pleasures in which Israel was engaged. Pleasures which satisfied the flesh instead of the spiritual. Now, we know that there are many activities, many engagements of which God is pleased with. You know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 7 and verse number 18, the Bible says that God delights in what? In mercy. He delights in mercy. But in our passage tonight, I want to show us three of these actions, if we could use that word tonight, in which God is pleased. And we ought to leave here tonight saying, your pleasure is going to be my pleasure. Okay, so let's look here tonight, and I'll give you these three, and hopefully we'll be done in plenty of time to give us plenty of time to pray tonight. Let me give you number one here in Isaiah chapter number 58. God is pleased, first of all, when we are real in our righteousness. God is pleased, first of all, tonight, when we are real in our righteousness. Now, let me say this. We're not speaking about salvation righteousness right here. The Bible, many, many times, and especially in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, but in many places, when it uses the word righteousness, it carries the idea of simply doing that which is right. It's not speaking of gaining any merit with God for our salvation. We know that the Bible says right here in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 64, the Bible says that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And so when it comes to salvation, we know there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. However, the Bible speaks often of us simply doing that which is right. And we all know how to do things that are right, don't we? And the Bible many times will use the word righteous. Now, look if you would here in verse number 1. The Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their what? Their transgression. And the house of Jacob their what? Sin. So Isaiah has been sent to show Israel and to show even Judah in a small part, but more Israel here in Isaiah 58, to show Israel their transgression, to show Israel their sins. Now look at verse number 2. Yet they seek me daily. Wait a minute. How can a people that are seeking God daily be in transgression and sin? Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Verse 3, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? The Israelites, they come before God and they say, God, we've been fasting, but it's almost as if you haven't noticed. And God's showing us here that the problem was that everything that they did was fake. It was a pretense. Everything they did was on the outside. And on the inside, as the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, on the inside, their heart, their mouths spoke of God and their mouths talked about God, but the Bible says their hearts were far from Him. It's a pretense. It was fake. And they say, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? We haven't eaten for a week. We've fasted, or we haven't been on our cell phone for a day. We have fasted for you, God. We've afflicted our soul. And thou takest no knowledge. He's asking a question there. God, why aren't you noticing everything we're doing? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? God is saying, look, you're doing everything on the outside to make people think that you're right with me, but on the inside, you're not even close to me. You're nowhere close to being right with me. You know what God is pleased with tonight? God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Can I tell you tonight, that's what our world desperately needs. Our world desperately needs us to be real, to be genuine in our righteousness, in our Christianity. Not speaking about God and not talking about our faith and not posting a verse every now and then, but then the rest of the time, our mouths are full of profanity and our spirits are full of anger and our spirits are full of gossip and drama and backbiting. This world needs Christianity that's real. And God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Not just with lip service and not just speaking about God, but actually doing something and living for Him. That's what He's pleased with. He says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Verse 6. In verse 6, he's going to begin to tell them what fast he's really going to accept. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. He said, when you will loose the bands of wickedness from your life, when you fast then I'll accept it. When you go through your religious motions without your heart being right with me, that's all it is. It's just religious motions. It's just going through the motions, if you will. It's just a pretense on the outside of righteousness and Christianity. He said, oh, no. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? What is the fast that he has chosen? The fast that involves the loosing the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? It's apparent that the Israelites were involved in oppression with their servants, with the people that worked for them. They weren't obeying the law of the Jubilee. In the year of the Jubilee, they were supposed to let, after those 7 years of seven, after the 49 years and the 50 years in the year of Jubilee, they were supposed to let the servants go. He said, look, you want me to listen to your fast? You want me to give ear and give eye to your fast? Then you need to live right first. You need to be right in your heart, is what he's telling the Israelites. You speak about, by the way, in the book of Jeremiah, we're not going to go to it tonight, but in Jeremiah, the people were going to church. Where did Jeremiah preach a number of his messages? At the gates of the temple. They were going to the temple. But he said, look, you give good mouth service and you speak about me, but your heart is far from me. Number one, God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Hey, daddies, tonight, God is pleased when you are serious about being a biblical daddy. Hey, mamas, tonight, God is pleased when you are serious about getting into His Word and saying, you know what, I'm not doing this now, but I'm going to do it. I know it may be hard, but I'm going to do it. God is pleased when we're real and we're serious about this matter of being the Christian mamas and daddies, of just, listen, of just being the Christians that He's called us to be, of being the Christian husbands and wives, of being the Christian church members that God has called us to be. Number one, God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Number two tonight, God is pleased when we are humble toward the hurting. That's what He says in verses 6 and 7. We've already read it. God is pleased when we are humble toward the hurting. Look what He says again in verse 6. He says, this is the fast that I have chosen. First of all, to loose the bands of wickedness. What were some of the wicked things they were doing? The Bible says, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Now, I don't think anybody in here tonight has servants or slaves per se, but you may have some employees. You know, you ought, and I say that based on the Word of God, not based on what I think. But you know what? Anybody who is a boss ought to treat their employees right. Ought to pay them right. Ought to pay them promptly. Ought to pay them promptly. In the Bible, now I'm not saying you have to do this because I know we don't work this way in our society, but in the Bible, when a person did a day's work, he got paid at the end of the day. I know we do every week, every 2 weeks, and once a month. I understand that. I'm not saying you got to do it every day, but I'm saying we ought to do it promptly. That was one of the things, one of the areas that God was disappointed in the nation of Israel with. They were being oppressive to their servants. And He said, look, you need to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. Can I say this tonight? Sometimes as moms and dads, we can be oppressive with our children. And I'm not talking about discipline tonight. We talked about that Sunday night. I'm not talking about discipline. You ought to discipline. But sometimes we can be oppressive with our children, just with our spirits and our attitude. Listen, God help us never to break the spirits of our children. Now, their wills need to be broken sometimes. There's a difference between the will and the spirit. And sometimes with the words that come out of our mouths, and sometimes with the anger that comes flowing out of our mouths, we break their spirits. And we can be oppressive. Again, don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about discipline. You ought discipline. There's a difference between breaking the spirit and breaking the will. Children's will. My will as a child needed to be broken because the Bible says, what is bound in the heart of a child? Foolishness. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. He needs that foolishness broken out of him. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about breaking their spirit. Breaking them to the point where they look at life and say, well, what's the use? If my mom and dad think I'm a loser, then what does the world think about me? Oppressive. He said to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Look, this is so hard today. Because there are so many scam artists out there. You've all met them. They're not hungry. They're not poor. They're not needy. But you know what? There are some people out there that are. And the Bible says here, Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Number one, God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Number two, God is pleased when we are humble toward the hurting. Let me give you number three. God is pleased when we delight in His day. God is pleased when we delight in His day. Verses 13 and 14. Now we're going to come back just a moment. Don't think I'm skipping. We're going to come back to verses 8 through 12 in just a moment. But verses 13 and 14, God is pleased, thirdly, when we delight in His day. Hey, Pastor, why do you want people to come to church on Sunday? Because it's God's day. But that's not what we think anymore. In our mind, in 21st century America, Sunday is just another day. Sunday is a day to go to the lake. Sunday is a day to do whatever. Go to the ball field. Sunday is a day to have parties. Sunday is, hey, I've heard this many, many times. You've heard it as well. Sunday's a family day. You're not doing much for your family if you keep your family out of church on Sunday because you say it's a family day. That's what God says. He says it's my day. He says it's not your day. He says it's my day for you to worship me. It's my day for you to... Look what he says. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. He says, stop making it about you and stop doing everything you want to do on the Sabbath. Make my day a delight in your life. The holy of the Lord. Say that the Sabbath is the holy day of the Lord. Say that the Sabbath is honorable. And if you will honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. You know when God is pleased? He's pleased when we are real in our righteousness. He's pleased when we are humble toward the hurting. And He is pleased when we delight in His day. And I do believe a lot of people don't understand what it's all about. Because I believe a lot of people just think, well, Sunday's just, I'm going to come to church and we'll sing a few songs, I'll listen to the preaching, and then I'll go home and the rest of the day's mine and whatever. That's not what Sunday's about. Sunday's about coming to worship. It's not about just filling an obligation. It's not about, just checking a box. It's not about, well, what can the preacher give me today? Or, man, what is the choir going to sing good today? Or is it going to be, so-so? Okay, here's the question. Are you going to sing good today? Well, boy, the choir, they kind of laid an egg today. Well, how about you? Because Sunday's just not about the choir. It's not just about the preacher. Although the preaching of God's Word is preeminent. But it's about us coming with a heart of worship. That's what the Sabbath was all about. The Sabbath was about a day set aside to rest, yes. But also to fix their thoughts. To put everything else aside and to fix their thoughts upon the God of heaven. Upon Jehovah, who had brought them out of Egypt, who had chosen them to be His people. And it was a day for them to set aside and to fix their thoughts and fix their minds upon Him and Him alone. But now we've got our minds fixed upon so many other things. Well, boy, preacher wasn't on his game today. Maybe he wasn't. But maybe it was because you didn't come with a heart of worship. Now, a preacher's not on his game a lot of Sundays. I get that. But if we'll come with a heart of worship, we'll hear from God whether the preacher's on his game or not. See, when I sit down in front of my computer during the week to watch a message and to listen to a man of God preach, because I need it, when I do that, if I go with the right spirit, instead of going with a spirit of a critical spirit, he should have said that differently, he missed that point, he should have emphasized that. If I go with that spirit, I'm going to get nothing out of it. But if I just go sit down in front of that computer or my phone, just ready to receive with a heart of worship, I want to hear from God because I need it, I need to be filled. If I'll do that, I'll get much, much more out of it. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. You know when God is pleased? He's pleased when we delight in His day. When it's a delight. Look at verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Hey, real quickly, would you turn back? Would you hold your place here? We're going to come right back in just a moment. Would you turn back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 122? Psalm 122. God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. But that was the thing about the nation of Israel. It was just all on the outside. Now, yeah, you would say, well they worship Baal, you know, it was all of that stuff. Absolutely. But they still, their mouths, the Bible said, they still talked about God, Jehovah. They still fasted, as we saw in Isaiah 58. But the Bible says their hearts were far from Him. God is pleased when we're real in our righteousness. He's pleased when we're humble toward the hurting. So many times we get our eyes fixed upon ourselves, we miss people that are hurting. By the way, sometimes, let me say this, and I can be terrible about this. Sometimes we make judgments and we have no idea what people are going through. We've got to be careful about that. We can make judgments and we can make judgment calls and we miss the hurt that people are going through because we're just not sensitive to it. We're not humble. And then thirdly, God is pleased when we delight in His day. Look at Psalm 122, a song of degrees of David. First verse, I was, what's the word? Glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. You know, when I was a child, I loved going to church. And by the way, it wasn't because I was super spiritual or anything like that. Boy, I'm ready to go hear the preaching today. That wasn't why I wanted to go to church. I love going to church because at church I can see all my buddies. And so, man, I love going to church. Look what he says in verse number 2. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. They made the trip to the temple. They made the trip to Jerusalem to go and to worship. Now listen, your children, they may not be excited necessarily because, hey, we get to sing or the Bible story, although I believe kids get excited about that. But listen, most kids get excited because they get to see all their buddies when they're here. And what do? When we don't bring them? They don't get to place their feet inside of the house of God. We don't get to teach them how to delight in His day. And David said, look, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 3, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Hey, listen, I'll seek the good of the nation of Israel primarily because of the house of God. That's what David says. God is pleased when we delight in His day. I look back at Psalm 58, and let me give you these quickly and we'll be done. What are the resulting blessings when God is pleased? What are the blessings that result when God is pleased? Look at verse 8. Isaiah 58, verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth. Remember what we just read in verse 6 and 7? He tells them what kind of fast he chooses. He says, then, if you'll do this, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. You ever feel dry in your spiritual life? It could be simply you just need to get right with God. And the Bible says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called. This is what you're going to be called: the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. What are the resulting blessings? Three things real quickly. First of all, an army of protection. An army of protection, verse number 8. You know what God says? He says, I'm going to be with you in front of you, and I'm going to be with you behind you. That word, the last part of verse number 8, re-reward, means the army that goes behind. He said, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to go behind you. Number one, an army of protection. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Second blessing. First blessing, an army of protection. Number two, answered prayer. Verse number 9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Answered prayer. Thirdly, an abundance of provision. What are the blessings that result? An army of protection, answered prayer, an abundance of provision. By the way, real quickly, let me read a couple of verses if I could. Psalm 34, verse number 15. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. And listen, and his ears are open unto their cry. What's one of the resulting blessings? Answered prayer. Proverbs chapter number 15, verse number 8. Give me just a second. Proverbs 15, verse number 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Answered prayer. Then thirdly, an abundance of provision. Verses 10 through 12, verse 14. Verse 10. Verse 12, we read it, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Verse 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. We spend a lot of time on the blessings. My pleasure. He says, my day is not about your pleasure. He says, your life is not about your pleasure. Your life is about my pleasure. What were we created for? To please God. How do we please Him? By faith. What is faith? It is preeminent trust and confidence. It's faith in His Word. It's trust in what He has said. It's confidence in what He has said. So, okay, then I ought to have confidence in Isaiah 58 when it gives me the resulting blessings. When I please Him, then I can have confidence in that. My pleasure. My pleasure. Let me ask us, are we real in our righteousness tonight? Are we the real deal? When it comes to our Christianity, are we genuine? Or are we in and out, up and down? Or are we genuine? Real. The real deal. That's what people want to see. That's what people need to see. People need to see us behaving like we say we believe. Practice what you preach. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see us practicing what we preach. God is pleased when we are real in our righteousness. Let me ask us, are we humble toward the hurting? Or is it just, I'm going to keep my fists closed. I'm going to keep everything I can. I understand you got to be careful. I know that. We get so many scam artists that come by the church. It's just, you want to help. But it's like, do I help or are they going to take $20 and go buy a bottle of alcohol? You know? But we need to be sensitive to the hurting. God is pleased when we delight in His day. Not my day. He says it's my day, but it's not my day. It's His day. And He is pleased when we delight in His day. When we set a day aside just to put our minds totally... Hey, listen, and it... Church is important. The Bible commands it. But listen, it's what I was saying just a moment ago. It's not just about that. It's not just about coming to church at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock for Sunday. It's not just about that. It's about the whole day. Our minds fixed upon worship for Him. The whole day. Really, the whole week, our whole lives, I understand that. But that's what a day is set aside for, to rest our minds and to rest our bodies and put our thoughts upon Him. My pleasure. God help us. God help us. Father, we love You tonight. Lord, just ask You'll help us. Pray that You'll help me. Pray that You'll hear us as we pray. Father, I pray that You'll incline Your ear toward us. And I pray that You'll do in our lives and in the life of our church and in the life of each family and each individual that's represented in this church, Lord, that You'll do what only You can. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Lord, give us safety as we go to our homes tonight. Bring us back together at the next appointed time. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed. It is about 6 or 7 till. I hope you can stay and pray, but you are dismissed.